I told him, "No, Mr. Moore. Lightning Hopkins, Tom Moore Blues." Shelby County, Texas, 2016. Geneva Sweet ran an orange extension cord past Mava Greenwood, beloved wife and mother, may she rest with her heavenly father. Late morning sunlight pinpricked through the trees, dotting a constellation of light on the blanket of pine needles at Geneva's feet as she snaked the cord between Mava's sister and her husband, Leland, father and brother in Christ. She gave the cord a good tug, making her way up the modest hill, careful not to step on the graves themselves, only the well-worn grooves between the headstones, which were spaced at haphazard and odd angles, like the teeth of a pauper. She was lugging a paper shopping bag from the Brookshire Brothers in Timpson, along with a small radio from which a Muddy Waters record, one of Joe's favorites, whistled through the speakers. Have you ever been walking down that old lonesome road? When she arrived at the final resting place of Joe Petey Pie Sweet, husband and father and, forgive him, Lord, a devil on the guitar, she set the radio carefully on top of the polished chunk of granite, snapping the power cord into its hiding place behind the headstone. The one next to it was identical in shape and size. It belonged to another Joe Sweet, younger by 40 years, and just as dead. Geneva opened the shopping bag and pulled out a paper plate covered in tinfoil, an offering for her only son. Two fried pies, perfect half moons of hand-rolled dough, filled with brown sugar and fruit and baptized in grease, Geneva's specialty and Lil Joe's favorite. She could feel their warmth through the bottom of the plate, their buttery scent softening the sharp sting of pine in the air. She balanced the plate on the headstone, then bent down to brush fallen needles from the graves, keeping a hand on a slab of granite at all times, ever mindful of her arthritic knees. Below her, an 18-wheeler tore down Highway 59, sending up a gust of hot, gassy air through the trees. It was a warm one for October, but nowadays, they all were. Near 80 today, she'd heard, and here she was thinking it was about time to pull the holiday decorations from the trailer out back of her place. Climate change, they call it. This keep up, and I'll live long enough to see hell on earth, I guess. She told all this to two men in her life. Told them about the new fabric store in Timpson. The fact that Faith was bugging her for a car. The ugly shade of yellow Wally painted the ice house.
Looked like someone coughed up a big mess of phlegm and threw it on the walls.
She didn't mention the killings, though, or the trouble bubbling in town. She gave them that little bit of peace. She kissed the tips of her fingers, laying them on the first headstone, then the second. She let her touch linger on her son's grave, giving out a weary sigh. Seemed like death had a mind to follow her around in this lifetime. It was a sly shadow at her back, as single-minded as a dog on a hunt, as faithful, too. She heard a crunch of pine needles behind her, a rustling in the leaves blown from the nearby cottonwoods, and turned to see Mitty, the colored cemetery's unofficial groundskeeper.
"They got batteries for them things," he said, nodding at the small radio while steadying himself by leaning on the concrete stone for Beth Ann Solomon, daughter and sister gone too soon.
"You send me the propane bill time you get it," Geneva said.
Mitty was older than Geneva, nearing 80 probably. He was a dark-skinned man and small, with two legs thin as twigs and ashy as chalk. He spent his afternoons in the small shed on the property, shooing off stray dogs and vermin. 5 days a week he was out here with a racing magazine and a cheroot, watching over the gathering of souls, keeping an eye on